Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. We are New York and New Jersey Public Radio. It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. The impeachment talk around Donald Trump is getting so frequent that the New York Times, which has really been tough on him, ran an editorial this week advising eager progressives and Democrats to slow down the anticipation a little because we're not there yet, as they put it. It's not yet Watergate. For example, they reminded us that before Nixon was forced to resign, the public learned that the Nixon team had plunged into rank criminality, discussing a million-dollar bribe for the burglars after they demanded ransom money for protecting the White House. But still, we may be getting there. The news just broke, as Shamita reported, that Michael Flynn will plead the fifth today before the Senate Intelligence Committee. And the Times reported on Friday on a document detailing the conversation between Trump and the Russian ambassador and foreign minister on the day after Trump fired FBI Director James Comey. According to the document, Trump told the Russians, quote, "I faced great pressure because of Russia. That's taken off." Now, that could be a bombshell indicating Comey was fired to obstruct justice. And the Times says the White House did not dispute the document's account. Let's talk to Maggie Haberman, one of the New York Times correspondents who reported that story. Hi, Maggie. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What was this document exactly?
It was notes taken from people's contemporaneous recollections from the meeting. There was also a National Security Council note taker who was in the meeting. And typically the way this works is that, you know, people do their recollections right after, and it gets circulated, this account. My understanding, although I can't be certain of this, is that these notes are part of why Tom Bosser, the Homeland Security Advisor, flagged some of the content of what the president had said for the CIA related to discussing intelligence and laptop safety.
Was that said to be an exact quote from the president? "I faced great pressure because of Russia. That's taken off."
Again, this was this is our understanding from the notes. You know, you can allow for some human error, but I got to tell you, Brian, the number of times that I have heard this president call somebody a nut job publicly over the course of the last 2 years is vast. So it's not like it's out of character or suddenly comes from nowhere.
He called Comey a nut job to those Russian officials. And you report that Sean Spicer, the White House press secretary, did not dispute the account. That's kind of remarkable, too, because even if he can't deny the existence of the document, why wouldn't he deny its accuracy?
Well, I imagine you wouldn't deny its accuracy if it's accurate, right? I mean, I think that this is the one time that I can imagine that there were, or if they're not sure if there is a tape, right? I mean, like, I think that there was some report that there was a question about whether Russians may have had a listening device or something to that effect. I know the president has raised the specter of whether he himself tapes, you know, in a tweet.
Yeah. But
I think that it was interesting that this is one of the first times that I can remember that the White House was not doing a version of sort of Baghdad Bob of saying, you know, this is not at all what happened, and this is, you know, this is what happened. And whether there's a word dropped here or there between what the president said and what the notes reflected, the spirit is that the president of the United States in a meeting in the Oval Office was trashing the FBI director to an adversary of the U.S.
And I know you can't reveal your source, but why would someone read the New York Times that document?
I'm not going to get into any of that, Brian.
How close to Trump would someone have to be to have a copy?
I'm not going to get into any of that. I appreciate you trying, but I'm not going to discuss sourcing of any kind.
Is there, outside of the document, is there a context that you can put it in of who inside the government is trying to sink Trump, even get him impeached?
No. I could not do that, and I think that what I would caution you or anyone to do is to suggest that that's somebody's motive.
Yeah.
Because sink Trump, quote unquote, sounds very political. So I'm not going to say anything more.
All right. You also reported that leading up to that line. He told the Russians, I just fired the head of the FBI. He was crazy, a real nut job, as you just referred to.
Mm-hmm.
That in itself is kind of remarkable because Comey's investigation was also of them. It was Sergei mm-hmm. Kislyak, the Russian ambassador, who Michael Flynn got fired for hiding the content of his conversation with and who Jeff Sessions had to recuse himself from the Russia investigation for failing to disclose at his confirmation that he met with, when asked directly if he met with the Russians during the campaign. What are the implications of telling these Russians that Comey is a nut job?
Look, I think that there are two interpretations here, and one is the interpretation of people who think that this adds to the notion that there was some obstruction of justice involved in the dismissing of Comey, which is to say to Russian officials, you know, this guy was breathing down my neck because of this thing involving what Russia did, and phew, that's gone now, and essentially describing it as a deliverable in this meeting with Russians. The other way is the defense that we heard from a government official who also, you know, confirmed that that the spirit of this is true, that, you know, the president was trying to, and again, this is what the person said, I don't know that this is what happened, but that the president was essentially trying to say that the Russians had put him in a very difficult position with their meddling, and it sounded, you know, from that account as if the president had indeed acknowledge there was meddling instead of, you know, what he has often done, which is say, well, maybe it was the Russians, maybe not. And, you know, of course he had no involvement in this, and so of course this whole thing had created undue political pressure on him when what he really wanted to do was negotiate a better relationship. You saw H.R. McMaster, the National Security Advisor who replaced Michael Flynn, say a version of that yesterday on ABC, where he said that the president felt, quote-unquote, hamstrung in trying to deal with Russia on certain discrete strategic areas. I don't know whether that's what happened, but that is the other version, and people mm-hmm. are going to have to decide which one they believe.
Should I assume this document will be subpoenaed by Congress or the special counsel and be made public eventually?
I mean, I think it's safe to assume it will be sought. I don't know whether it will ultimately be attained, but I think it's quite likely that this will end up being part of what the probe being led by the special counsel Robert Mueller is going to look into.
Another development this weekend is that Comey has agreed to testify before Congress in open session after Memorial Day,
right,
even though the special counsel investigation is now taking place. How much do you think Comey can reveal about the notes he says he took, or anything else, if it indicates Trump tried to interfere with his investigation of Michael Flynn or anything else, if the special counsel investigation is going on?
It's a great question, and I don't know the answer. One of the open questions has been, to your point, it was very curious that Comey is indeed doing this testimony, because one open question has been, what does the presence of the special counsel mean in terms of what happens with the Senate investigations, what happened with the House investigation?
Yeah.
This does suggest it's going forward, but I agree with you that it's not clear yet, and maybe it will become clear before, you know, we get to the testimony as we get closer, what the parameters are as to what he's going to be allowed to do. I do know that a number of Republicans I've spoken with over the last few days on the Hill have said that they are waiting to see what Comey says in terms of what their own next moves will be. Republicans on the Hill are sticking with Trump, and it's for two reasons right now. One is they want to see their agenda through, and the other is, especially in the House, they really are aware that, you know, this is Trump's performance in a lot of these districts was better than the members of Congress, mm. and Congress has a low approval rating. And so this is to the point that you were discussing before about Democrats, you know, howling about impeachment. It's really way too early for
yeah.
that.
Well, there is new news today, as we mentioned, that Michael Flynn will take the Fifth
mm-hmm.
at a Senate Intelligence Committee hearing, which makes me wonder about the statement last week. I'm going to play this clip of Trump. And to your ear, did Trump indicate that he's starting to proclaim his own innocence on collusion with the Russians, but getting ready to throw his campaign team members overboard? Here's the statement.
There is no collusion between certainly myself and my campaign, but I can always speak for myself and the Russians, zero.
I can always speak for myself. Some people heard that as I can only speak for myself.
I think that's what he meant to say, but that is certainly how I heard it.
And then that got satirized on Saturday Night Live by Alec Baldwin as Trump this way.
I'm not giving up because I didn't do anything wrong. But I can't speak for these people.
Ouch. So, Maggie, do you see that Trump statement as a meaningful hint of something or just sloppy use of words?
No, I took it as a meaningful hint of something, honestly. I mean, again, I don't know that that will come to pass, but I took it as him acknowledging that there might be something there, even if it doesn't touch him. And look, the number of people who I've spoken to who have said that they're really not sure this, if there was something, it's not actually clear whether Trump would have been clued in. But Trump seems to be allowing for the possibility that there is enough information out there. There is just enough of a crush of it that it's going to be hard to keep saying no one had anything to do with this. This is a shift from what they used to say.
Yeah, and on the question of collusion, meaning did anybody in the campaign work with the Russians to get the Podesta emails or distribute the Podesta emails or anything like that, right?
Right. I mean, I think that it's, I think that, look, I mean, one thing that I wish someone would ask Sean Spicer, although I don't know that how many more briefings he's actually going to be doing, but ask someone on that team, right, ask someone on that team, you know, what exactly do you mean when you say collusion? I'm very curious what they think of that. But I'm, you know, I think it's fascinating. Their answers have shifted so dramatically on this. Again, I don't know what it ends up meaning. It might end up meaning nothing, but I think you are seeing the president try to be a little more precise legally than he had been before.
So as we run out of time, we may not be there yet in Watergate terms, as the editorial board put it, but where do you think we are?
Well, I think we're everywhere you just said, and none of that is a good place. If you are a president who, you know, however many days we are into his administration, I think it's maybe 125, there's been a special counsel named. And the special counsel was named in part, and it's possible it would have happened anyway, but the president's decision to fire Comey, even that could have been explainable to a degree anyway, had there actually been any kind of a rational explanation for it that didn't change four times. You know, and that didn't come with all of this conflicting information and didn't come with all of these reports about, you know, the president trying to woo Comey and all sorts of other things. I think that you can safely say that if the president had not fired Comey, you would not have a special counsel now. And I think that what is very hard for this president to look at is how much of this is self-inflicted. In the history of dealing with Donald Trump in this campaign, you know, the number one rule is that he is never wrong. And the number two rule is that if something goes wrong, it's someone else's fault.
Doing some of the best reporting in Washington these days, New York Times correspondent Maggie Haberman. Maggie, thanks so much.
Thank you.